Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
College football's playoff committee has announced the field will expand. It's Chuck Oliver Show on a Monday. Now, college football's playoff committee hasn't given us the details, the when and the how many and the whatever else. Hadn't done that. But the question of if those deets will come, yeah, that's over. On Friday, late afternoon, word started coming out of Dallas that, and this was from Heather Denich, who, when it comes to the playoffs, there's no other authority in the media more so than Heather. What's that word? Like, if the playoffs were a war front, she would be embedded. I mean, she knows what it is. That's kind of her gig. It's like Pedro and Barry Bonds, Ahmad Rashad and Michael Jordan, if you're old enough. So Heather said on Friday afternoon that the College Football Playoff Committee, after 2 days of virtual meetings, they got some announcements. A working group within the management committee, there are 10 commissioners plus Jack Swarbrick from Notre Dame. According to a press release from the playoff committee late Friday, 10 FBS commissioners and Notre Dame discussed, quote, 63 different possibilities for change. Whoa, wait a minute. Huh? Because what have we heard coming out of Dallas nonstop since forever and ever, amen? Oh, no. Everything we've already decided, we got it right the first time. Dan, wasn't it Bill Hancock after those disastrous ratings of it was when the games were on like a weekday.
Well, I mean, it was either that or it was New Year's Eve night that they did it.
That's what it was, and it was a Friday.
Right.
And he was like, no, we're keeping our schedule. And everybody was like, Bill, I don't believe this will work. Like, in advance. Bill, I don't believe that's exactly what it was. It was on New Year's Eve. And he's like, I don't think it's going to work out. And Bill's like, no, we got it right the first time. We're now considering other possibilities. Because they tanked and had the ratings and they had to give back or make good on spots, whatever. So it's just business. And honestly, I don't care when the games are. Just give me the games. So a playoff committee, which has, I mean, been staring at 2+2 and go, why do all y'all think that's 4? A playoff committee that has not shown a whole lot of flexibility at some points. Their announcement is 63 potential changes. Whoa, wait a minute. I thought you were a sniper. You got a shotgun. What? Speaking further, those changes included playoff models of 6 teams in the field, 8 teams in the field, 10, 12, and 16 teams. Each with a variety of different scenarios. Now, College Football Playoff Executive Director Bill Hancock said, quote, nothing is imminent. There will not be a new format this season or next season. Excuse me, Bill, what about the final 3 years of the contract? He was willing, you know what he was willing to do? Not comment through the rest of the contract, which I believe has 5 more years. He was willing to commit to the next 2 years, which would fulfill that three bowl rotation thing. You know, you get the 1 year where the Chick-fil-A Bowl and the Fiesta Bowl get to be the cool kids. Then you get the year where the Orange and the Cotton get to be the cool kids. And then the Rose and the Sugar never have to be the uncool kids. They never eat by themselves at lunch. But they also never have to take a group of five team. Have you paid attention to that? Like, some of us are more equal than others. Is that George Orwell? Yes, some of us are created more equal. So he's willing to commit that we get through the next two, whatever. Folks, this, if he thinks there's wool coming down over your eyes, it's saran wrap. An extremely effective negotiating strategy is for you to set the premise, like alternately known as throw out, like it's supposed to be a question if you're expanding. They give that announcement? We've got 63 changes, including expanding the field to 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, and 16 teams. Whoa, what? Throw out such – you've already taken the premise from being, are you expanding, to we're expanding and here's what we're considering. Throw out such outlandish brackets on an idea that is supposed to still be up for question that opponents will be scared into thanking you for only changing things to your way a moderate amount. It's, again, extremely effective. We're supposed to be discussing if this happens. You're saying, all right, here are the possibilities for it to happen, including one that's a little, almost imperceptible. We only increase it by two teams. Then there's one that's, oh, it, you barely even notice. It's to eight. Hey, we may expand it to 16. Hang on. When does 16 get on the table? I went into a meeting with my boss one point years ago. I took a note, mental note, went into a meeting with my boss specifically to discuss a raise. My contract, it was ending. It was time. Like, hey, let's have a meeting where we talk about a raise. I got into the meeting. From the first word, it became me justifying what I was already getting. So I'm like in the corner fighting off, like, am I going to lose money? What's going on here? Donald Trump and his taxes, he never cared what was effective negotiating technique. Get you chasing something that doesn't even matter. He never cared about his taxes. I never even saw his taxes. Did they ever chase him down? Here's what I could have told you if you'd asked me about Donald Trump's taxes in the 80s when I was in high school watching the Generals play in the USFL. Or if you asked me last week or before the election or in 2016 when everybody was like, he won't give us his taxes. I was like, I'll tell you what's on his taxes. Really rich guy, probably paid almost no taxes or got a refund and gave nothing to charity probably. Puts him in a pretty big group. Again, I didn't think there was a whole lot of mystery there. And he was like, oh, they're obsessing about it? All right, well, we'll throw a breadcrumb out every once in a while. Effective negotiating techniques. Had people chasing his taxes for 4 years. Extremely effective. You set the premise. This is official now. It's going to happen. The only thing to decide is how many teams will be added and what will be guaranteed. Again, when you go to a 16 expansion, there's all kinds of possibilities about 1 and 2 getting a bye and an on-campus first round and whatever else. You create all manner of opportunities, but what I guarantee, and I don't even know, if it's 6 or 16 or it becomes the NCAA, you put 68 in there and it's December Madness. Whatever it is, it's going to create money. And so it was always extremely likely, and it's not going to be good for the game. And this idea, can we go ahead and skip to the fairy tale part of this? There are teams, they never get a chance under the current system. If you expand, they'll have UCF or Tulane, who am I forgetting, who's had the undefeated season and thought that TCU and Boise, and Cincinnati, thank you. All these programs, if you expand it, then it would be more fair because we would have more of a chance. You'd have less of a chance. Cincinnati is a good call. the only chance the Bearcats have of winning a national championship, if somehow they only have to beat two real opponents. Tell the Bearcats they have to beat three real opponents or four or a real opponent. When I say real opponent, I mean Ohio State or Clemson. You know who they are. And the reason I brought up the Buckeyes is I think it was maybe the 2019 season, like week one or two. Or maybe they played Cincinnati. When, David?
It was week two, I think you're correct. Yeah, and they lost 35-0.
Yeah. And I remember going into that game, I was like, folks, Cincinnati is a really good team. They're well coached. They have a dynamic quarterback. They got grown men on defense, and nobody has juniors and seniors on defense. Ohio State's going to do what they want. And you tell me it's going to be more fair by saying, hey, Cincinnati, I don't know. Foop, do we know what happened? And by the way, Gator fans, your 96 team deserved the national championship, okay? I'm not trying to – that was a great, 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 great team. That was five greats. We know the food poisoning thing with Florida State, right? That was like 23 kids, food poisoning to some degree. It will affect your drop step. It'll affect your turn and go in coverage. Cincinnati has a chance when they only have to cross their fingers and toes. UCF, Memphis, when they only have to rub that rabbit's foot twice. Tell Tulane when they have that magic season and go 13-0 and somehow get the fourth seed. Mm-mm, just kidding. Now you've got to beat Clemson, Alabama, and Ohio State. This ain't going to make things more fair, and it's not going to give the have-nots more of a chance. It's going to give them less of a chance. But what is going to happen is that field's expanding.
Spring is here, and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hi, I'm Mark Beckham with Atlanta Ramjack. We specialize in only foundation repair. What is foundation repair? Foundations sink or settle. These issues need to be addressed. It only becomes more costly the longer you put it off. What is the biggest cause of foundation problem? Either poor construction, inferior site preparation, or weather. Drought causes cracks in your foundations. If you see any signs of foundation issues, please contact us at AtlantaRamjack.com.
Football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
Every five practices, man, you've seen exponential growth from all of them in their command of what we're doing, the ability to recognize signals, get lined up, get their eyes, feet in the right place, be accurate with the football. I think the last, you know, three or four practices have been all of theirs best practice.
I think I have encouraging, I can't say good news because it's April. I think I have encouraging news for Tennessee fans. That's Josh Heupel. They had a ball game on Saturday. A whole lot of points were scored. I think it was like 34-27. Orange had one of those totals. White had the other. But that was sort of the story. And the points were – hang on. I've got it here. Dadgummit. I care about accuracy a little bit here. 42-37. I apologize. There were more points than I thought. 42-37. I didn't sound right. So, like, 80 points almost put up. And that was the story of Saturday in Knoxville, is there were three scholarship quarterbacks who got a little run in the – and they both – play all three – play for both teams, and all three, Maurer and Bailey and Hendon Hooker, they all had their moments. They all made their plays. Now, when I say there is something that's encouraging, and y'all know, I mean, I'm not a Tennessee grad. I got no reason to put, creamsicle glasses on. You know what we were talking about in a very, like, arm's length, casual, it's not a big deal, but make a note sort of way after UF wrapped up their version of spring practice because they didn't have a game, them in Kentucky in the SEC. Remember we were saying, yeah, Emory Jones, he's the starter, absolutely is, and he is, and he's going to be, and I believe he always was. But there are varying opinions. The one that I have been told most often from people who know stuff in Gainesville are Emory's the starter, separation. We talked about that. That's the word. Coaches wish there's a little more separation from Emory. And so we look at this as, hey, it was at Anthony Richardson's, the local kid. He played pretty well. He had some whatever, and who, any other scholarship kid or a walk-on, they all had their times. But, hey, Emory's still the starter. When we talk about the other quarterbacks in Gainesville, for instance, it's not a good thing for the starter. Like, it's not because of anything good from those backups. It's because of something bad from the starter that he didn't separate enough. I think the opposite is true in Tennessee. I'm supposed to be talking right now. If you told me 6 weeks ago, hey, Chuck, Monday after the spring game, we're going to be talking about a literal wide-open quarterback job, and that's what I think it is. I would be going, uh-oh, Hendon Hooker done screwed up. Is he fumbling snaps, throwing picks? What, do they move him to receiver? What? How is Hendon Hooker not in hammerlock on this job? It's supposed to be sort of that same, again, casual, not a big deal, arm's length, but why don't we keep an eye on Hendon Hooker because he was supposed to, like we talked about Emory Jones. I don't think that's the case. I think all three of them did good stuff, and all three of them, Josh Heupel, what he was saying there, and coaches are never going to, hey, man, we're in trouble. Portal, hello. Nobody's going to say that in their post-spring game press conference. But Heupel talking there, I believe he's being straight up. He's got three guys that he looks at now, and it's not just bait to keep them in the room in August either. So, again, encouraging news at the end of April for Tennessee fans.
Well, I mean, I think there is that, though, too, Chuck, that he does want to keep him in there because he's looking around and saying, I can't lose anybody else.
Sure.
I mean, sure enough.
Oh, he wants to, but I think they all played well.
Yeah, and soon enough, and you even already have another guy coming in, too, from Michigan as well.
Yeah.
So that's going to be huge for them. I think kind of the inverse, though, is Luke Doty already being named the starting quarterback at South Carolina is because, number one, I think that is the best option that Shane Beamer has. But also, number two, I don't know what the quarterback situation is behind Luke Doty at South Carolina. I've got to believe that if he's already naming a quarterback as soon as you stepped off the field for your spring game, that the competition isn't even that. It's pretty much letting everybody else know, like, yeah, hey, guess what? I appreciate you going through it and you putting yourself out there and trying to win this job, but
he didn't get pushed.
Yeah, it's just not going to happen. Yeah. Because then I think the other part of it as well is it's already raising up the flag to the rest of college football saying, we got room for you over here at South Carolina, and if you want to, I mean, we got a guy that's a starter right now, but that doesn't necessarily have to stay in Penn.
Yeah, he didn't. And you know what I was saying, Josh Heupel, no coach is going to go post-game press conference, portal, boy, do we need QBs or running backs or receivers or whatever. When they're asked sometimes, a coach may say, hey, we're looking for another lineman or whatever, a position where you got like 11 guys who may play. But when you have a starting quarterback or a guy who thinks he is, your coach ain't going to say it. But what you just said there, Dan, he didn't have to.
No.
He doesn't have to say it. Word gets around. And I'm wondering, like Joe Milton, he was looking around thinking, all right, spring practice is going on. Where may I have a chance? Maybe he eyeballed Tennessee. I mean, I think he's been in the portal since February, a couple months. So he's certainly had time to look around. But you're right. It's interesting that a true freshman coming off 2.5 games, basically, is what he played, that it really appears either that's the best option or by some versions, that may be the only real option.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. More college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
All week, all year, it's all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show. I was talking last week about a guy named Jack Tatum that if you're not 45 years old or maybe 50, you may have never heard of Jack Tatum. His nickname was the Assassin. Like he's like, hey, yeah, cool to me. Like he probably had Assassin put on his wallet, okay? And he played safety in the NFL in the 70s and part of the 80s the way you did. And it was like, where's somebody's head? It's a guy that I kind of got to know a little bit when he played for the Falcons, a guy named Scott Case out of the University of Oklahoma University. He was not a very fast guy. He played corner in college, but he was tough. He was about 185 pounds. Guy that I told you I did games for the Arena League for 8 years. And the head coach of one of the teams, Doug Plank. He started in the NFL for 8 years until he had to retire because of a compressed spine, okay? He was 5'10". He says when he retired, he was 5'10". But he would just hit everybody harder. That's how you played safety. That's an era where if you told me there was a 165-pound wide receiver, I would like, not going to last, not past the preseason. That's not what it is anymore. It's the type of player, and it's the rules, and it's everything else. I've said I am so favorite. I think every replay ought to be eliminated except targeting. Okay, so that's how much the game has changed. We usually have our next guest on, talk a little Senior Bowl. We're going to talk NFL draft and scouting and all that. Want to welcome on now, again, Executive Director for the Reese's Senior Bowl, close personal friend of mine. It is Jim Nagy. Jim, how are you, brother?
I'm good, Chuck. How are you?
Doing okay. Talk about, like, Steve Atwater, for instance. I mean, he's a Hall of Fame safety. His game isn't really what the NFL's about anymore, and I'm talking about Devonta Smith and the earthquake following his measurements. Oh, he's 166 pounds. I'm like, it's a different game, folks. I don't have any I would rather he be 185, but if he's 166 and he's Devonta Smith, I'll kind of roll with it. That's my opinion. You were a scout for 20 years. Tell me what you think about today's NFL and Devonta Smith.
Well, I couldn't agree more with you, Chuck. They have done a great job of legislating a lot of that out of the league. You brought up all those great names, all those heavy hitters back in the 80s, 90s. That's just not the way the game's played anymore. So it does help a guy like Devontae. But my thing with Devontae is if he played in the 180s or the high 170s last year in Tuscaloosa and his weight just dropped, that'd be one thing. But I called up to Tuscaloosa in November to ask about all their players and kind of get updates on all those guys. And Smitty was 168 pounds then. So everything you're seeing on tape was Devontae Smith doing that in the upper 160s, 170 range. So I don't have any reservations with the player. Obviously he is going to be an outlier. I get that, and you don't try to build a team full of outliers, but there are some, and I think when everyone tries to make the player comparisons like they do in the media, we're going to Marvin Harrison and we're going to Isaac Bruce.
Sold.
And if you got to go back 25 years to find a guy that's as talented as Devontae Smith to make a player comparison, that should tell you how good the player is. So, again, the other point, Chuck, is he did it in the SEC, the most talented, the most physical conference in college football, inarguably. It's not like he was doing it at the D2 level or a group of five conference. He did this in the SEC, so I really don't have any reservations weight-wise with Devontae. To me, it's just a number.
Executive Director Reese's Senior Bowl is Jim Nagy. Appreciate his time today. Again, NFL scout for 18 years. Got the hardware from the Super Bowl to prove it, all of that stuff. Now he runs things down there in Mobile. Let's stay in Tuscaloosa. Jalen Waddle. There is, and actually I'll bring in Kadarius Toney too, because whether it's punts or kickoffs or whatever, Jim, you know this, in the NFL, it's like the more you emerge on offense or defense, oh, we can't have you on teams anymore. We can't have you returning kicks or punts. I think Jalen Waddle is a Pro Bowl kick returner. the day he signs his contract. Kadarius Toney could be a punt returner as well like that. Talk about the NFL philosophy and if you think these guys would be given a chance to fully show their game on special teams.
That's a great point, Chuck. I think if your head coach is on board with using Jalen Waddle in the return game, you can easily make a case that he goes above Devontae Smith and Ja'Marr Chase because he truly impacts two phases of the game then. And you talked about punts and kicks. It's hard to find guys that can do both. He's the best I've seen do both since Devin Hester when Devin was coming out of Miami. You know, and he didn't get a chance to run a 40. Had he popped a 4.2 something like we think he would have, because I think he was stride for stride with Henry Ruggs on that video that's been circulating on social media the last couple of months, and Ruggs was a 4.2 guy. So we're talking about a guy that can score from anywhere on the field. Those guys, you know, they don't grow on trees. They're hard to find. One comes out every 3 or 4 years. So Jalen Waddle's got to be in that conversation. And Kadarius Toney, I mean, he's a mobile guy. I've been watching him since high school. But another really dynamic playmaker that I can't imagine is going to last long come Thursday night.
A couple more minutes with Jim Nagy again from the Reese's Senior Bowl. One more kid from Alabama, and it's just because of the position, I believe. Christian Barmore, to me, if you're talking true interior tackle, interior guy on defense, I don't know. He may be my first choice if you said you get to pick one. Issue is he's a defensive tackle, which no NFL or college or high school or peewee team has ever had enough defensive tackles. Nobody. And somebody's going to pay. Like, this is going to be the position like where you have to overpay if you decide I have to have a tackle in the first round. And Barmore may be the best of the bunch.
Yeah, he's a guy that I've been on the guys at ESPN, Mellon Todd and those guys. They haven't had Christian in the first round, and to me he's going to go in the first round for a couple reasons. One, guys that are 6'4", 3'10", and running the low 4.9s are hard to find. He really came on late in the year from November on. There were times where he looked like the best player on the field, and that's saying a lot when you're watching an Alabama team. He's a great college football playoff. He's a guy that can affect the passer inside. And again, this is a really thin interior D-line class, so I think that gives him a little bit of a nudge. And then if you just look at the fact that he's been invited to Cleveland for the draft.
Yeah.
And the league office does tremendous homework trying to figure out which guys are going in the first round. Now, it's not foolproof. Every once in a while, they'll have a guy end up in the green room at the end of Thursday night. But it doesn't happen very often. So if they've invited Christian Barmore to Cleveland, I'm sure they've got enough word from the 32 teams that that's a guy they think's going in the first round.
I don't want to just throw you a softball, about a kid that I think you were actually watching today, maybe. But Jabril Cox, how much does – you've been in front offices, you've been in war rooms. How much does an NFL, the brain trust, the personnel guys, how much do they make an allowance for a guy who may have been asked to do something in college that was not either, A, his best fit, or B, certainly not what he's going to do in the pros? We see a lot of, like, guards who have to play left tackle in college because they're their best lineman. Jabril Cox, I don't know if he was used in the right spot this year for his skills, but you got to do what you got to do. How much allowance is there?
Yeah, it's all about projection, Chuck, and that's what makes the college scouting. For me, the truest form of scouting is when you got to project these guys from the college level. Where Jabril helped himself was making the move to from North Dakota State to LSU this year. I think he answered some of those level of comp questions that people might have had over the summer. Again, he was used as like a big nickel for North Dakota State, like you're talking about. A little more conventional use this year at LSU. But again, he's exactly what the league's looking for. It's a linebacker position right now. He's got long arms. He can really run. He's instinctive. And you're right. We're just rolling out of the LSU facility right now. Jabril just had his pro day today. He was nursing a hamstring injury the first pro day about a month ago. So he just worked out for teams. He ran in the high four five range. Jumped 10-3 in the broad jump. I think he was like a 35 vertical jump. So had a really nice workout. But he's coming along at the league at the right time because this is exactly what the NFL guys are looking for is big space linebackers now.
All right, let's go rapid fire a little bit here then. Terrence Marshall, I have said, can't get enough of him. He could fall out of the first round. I don't think that'll happen. But he is a guy who is normally like the second or third receiver off the board. I think somebody's going to get a steal as like the fifth, sixth, maybe seventh receiver.
Yeah, he's in a good spot, too, because we talked about Kadarius and Jaylen Waddle. There is a slew of slots in this draft. It's similar to last year.
Nobody's big.
There's a bunch of wideouts. Yeah, but last year there were a lot of big guys. This year there's not. So I think Terrace is really going to benefit from that. Yeah, I think that late one, early two is kind of the sweet spot for Terrace.
This is wide open. Who's the best edge in the entire draft? Because I see some projects and some guys who are intriguing, but there's no like Godzilla or Rodan who like you look in the Big Ten or the SEC and go, oh yeah, 11 sacks.
You know, you're right. You're right. I think there's three guys that the league has with first round grades, and it's Kwity Paye from Michigan, Azeez Ojulari from Georgia, and Jalen Phillips from Miami. I think all those three guys will go in the first round. I think Phillips is probably the most ready from a pass rush standpoint. I think Kwity Paye probably has the highest upside from a pass rush standpoint. And then Ojulari is the best against the run. And he's got upside as well because he's so good with his hands and he can really close to the quarterback when he gets a clear path. So I think those are the top three kind of undisputed. And, you know, I think they're going to all end up there somewhere in the first.
Mac Jones, give me your just bottom line opinion, because what was talked about as a guy that a team may want to trade into the end of the first to get that fifth year option, it's now a conversation, at least not of me, but there's a conversation out there. He could go third overall. Tell me what you think.
Yeah, I think he does end up going third overall, Chuck. And from where he was when we were trying to get him come to the Senior Bowl, that's exactly how I laid it out to him. I said, Mac, right now you're end of the first, early second. And he's had a nice rise through the process. I think the more coaches watch his tape and they see how he operates from the pocket and from the neck up, that really gets coaches going. I think the scouts were nitpicking a little bit for the athlete and the arm talent. But Mac plays the position really well if you just want to boil it down. He knows how to play quarterback. And I just bring it back to last year with Joe Burrow. I still don't get how we all wrapped our arms around the Joe Burrow pick, which I did. I love Joe. But we all bought into him going number one overall. And we've really resisted Mac Jones. When you just put them side by side in terms of their resumes being third or fourth round guys going into their senior years, having record-setting years in the SEC, undefeated, national championships, and then their athletic profile and their actual games, you know, the actual how they play the game and what their strengths are, really line up. They really line up side by side. And there's been this blowback against Mac, and maybe it was the Joe Cool factor with Joe Burrow, which is easy to buy into. Joe's a stud, but it's been an interesting dynamic with this year's draft, how people have taken the Mac Jones thing.
All right, just two more guys, and you can tell me what gets them on the field or what maybe keeps them off the field for a minute or two. ETN.
Yeah, I think he gets on the field immediately. I think you could make a strong case that he and Najee Harris are two of the top 20 players in the draft if you just break them down in what they can do for your football team. But it's the whole where are we valuing the running back position right now. So whoever takes Travis, I think a lot of people have him going to Jacksonville, you know, early in the second round, which would be a really cool fit with the quarterback. But whoever drafts him is drafting him to be their starter. So I think he's a day one starter. He proved this year he can stay on the field all three downs. I've heard some Alvin Kamara comps. I don't love it. I think they're different athletically. But I do think that Travis is a guy that you can do some things in the slot and really use him, diversify him in the pass game. So I think he's a year one starter for whoever takes him.
All right. Tell me if at this point going forward, the clouds part and it's blue sky for Marvin Wilson. What is the best Marvin Wilson as far as a Sunday guy?
Well, I think he's got an upside to be a starter. I think, you know, Marvin was really one of those guys that was projected very, very high early on. I don't know if he was ever in that stratosphere for me personally. I think he's a really good football player. Do not get me wrong there.
Yeah.
But people had him as like a top 10 pick in the draft. So, it seems like he's had this precipitous fall. A lot of that had to do with injuries this year. And I'll give Marvin credit. Like, now we had him in the Senior Bowl, and I've talked to him what he dealt through during the season. he played through a lot, and he did that for his teammates. He just didn't want to leave the field. He wanted to be there for his FSU guys. But I do think he's a starter-level player. But, again, I think so much of the early talk going back to last summer was top 10 pick, best defensive player in this year's draft. I just never saw that. So I think Marvin's where he should be, somewhere as a day-two player and a guy that's at some point going to start. I don't know if it's his rookie year, but at some point he's going to be a starter in the league.
Gave him no information, folks. All that top of his head. Jim, that's outstanding, brother. I appreciate the insight as always.
Yeah, you got it, Chuck. Thanks for having me back on. Enjoy the draft.
Yes, sir. Jim Nagy again, Executive Director, Reese's Senior Bowl. We will break. Come back, Rapid Power 1 next.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Is there chaos in your closet?
Look, Blouse, you've got some nerve hanging there like that.
I can't help it. I'm jammed in here next to this suit.
Hey, I'm a three-piece, all right, which means I need a little more room.
You've got a lot of attitude for a linen suit.
I'm a polyester blend, sweetheart, and there needs to be room for men's clothes, too.
Hi, I'm Christina, and at Artisan Custom Closets, we help families organize and simplify their closets with customized storage solutions. See what's possible for your home at artisancustomclosets.com, and then call us for a free in-home consultation.
Now back to Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
Travis Etienne reminds Jim Nagy of Alvin Kamara in some ways. He says the athleticism maybe not there, but, I mean, if you're talking about do you know what used to be the norm in the NFL? In fact, it wasn't even a phrase. It was just, hey, he's our running back. You would have every NFL team, almost even the bad ones. Do you know what the bad NFL team still had? Hey, that's our running back. You had a plow horse. Now, occasionally it was actually a fullback, but you had a plow horse. And like I said, even the crappy teams, if you remember George Rogers from South Carolina won the Heisman Trophy, he went to New Orleans as the first overall pick. Lawrence Taylor went to the Giants second overall pick, but George Rogers went first overall. And I think he led I'm pretty sure he led the NFL in rushing as a rookie. And he went to three or four Pro Bowls, and then he went to the Washington Redskins, and he became a goal line sledgehammer and, you know, whatever. But everybody, that was the approach. That is not the approach now, to the point that, do you know what the phrase has become? It used to be, yeah, that's our running back. It's, oh, he's a three down back. Now, there are people who, that guy, he's a third down back. What is he? First and second. It's rare. And I mean, folks collect them like rare coins. A three down back in the NFL. Le'Veon Bell was a three down back for about three seasons. Alvin Kamara, he's mostly a three down back. He does, I mean, devastating work in the passing game, obviously, out of the backfield for New Orleans. But the fact that you've got a guy who has been part of six Super Bowls and four champions in Jim Nagy, again, 18 years as a scout, he runs the thing down in Mobile, for gosh sakes. And he's like, there's a comparison to be made. Now, he's not Alvin Kamara, and that's not a criticism. But the fact that you can at least – I've said before, there are times, like when the outcome of the conversation can be its own exclamation point, but there are times when it's just the fact that you can legitimately have a conversation or legitimately have a comparison or legitimately include this person when talking about icon, you know, whomever, that ultimately, whatever the outcome of the conversation is, it's a little secondary. – I had a buddy of mine years ago, we would argue about Michael Jordan or Wilt Chamberlain, who was the greatest player ever. And I was like, does it really matter? Like, if you can have the conversation. Wilt Chamberlain's the only center to ever lead the NBA in assists. Think about that for a second. Dude's like 7'2". And he decided one year, I think I'll pass. Led the league in assists per game. So whatever. I said, it doesn't really matter, because if the outcome is, no, he isn't, he's only the second greatest player in NBA here, I'm like, kind of makes the point. Same thing there with, if you're comparing him to Kamara and saying, look, he's not Alvin Kamara, but here's how he's similar and here's how he can bring that game, it's a dub, believe me. There is an idea we have with the NFL draft coming on Thursday night, the first round at least. And I'm going to be at Harrah's Valley River up in Murphy, North Carolina on Thursday for the show. And then on Friday, I'm going to be at Harrah's Cherokee in Cherokee, North Carolina. But we got the first round of the NFL draft on Thursday night, and then day two is the second and third round, of course, Friday evening, and then all day on Friday, Saturday, wrap it up. There is an idea about the NFL draft, and we were also talking with Jim about Mac Jones, that you've got to dedicate your resources to getting your quarterback, that you have to spend a first-round pick, and it has to be a good first-round pick. And if you don't get it right, you got to keep drafting and using some first-round picks. The truth turns out to be the opposite of what we may suspect when we talk about things like NFL teams that win championships and college quarterbacks that they look at and go, yep, first-rounder. Turns out championship franchises do not draft quarterbacks in the first round very often. And I mean like almost never. And when they do, they almost always hit. Now, I will say modern day NFL over the last 20 years or so, how many times kid coming out of college, quarterback, that the championship, you know, spends, we're going to dedicate resources and quarterbacks the most, the Cleveland Browns. Boy, they dedicate some resources to getting their quarterback. And it looks like maybe they have to some degree at this point. I don't trust Baker. But, I mean, he can do things. He can excite you on a Sunday. I don't know that he can play consistent enough football for you to win four straight games against, or three if you win a division, to win a Super Bowl. Not against that level of competition. But championship franchises, and I'm talking on the totality of what they are over the last 20 years, New England, Pittsburgh, Green Bay, the Giants, Seattle, you know what it is. It's not a perfect list. There are teams on that list, and again, the championship franchises in the NFL, you know who they are. They'll take a first-round quarterback once every 15 or 20 years. Now, there are exceptions, like Denver. And you know how rare it is for a legit championship franchise, which the Broncos are. That's a great franchise. How rare it is for a franchise like that to spend so many picks on quarterbacks who don't work out. The Broncos fired John Elway because of that. Okay? That's the Steelers, by my estimation, I know all about the Patriots. But I'm talking about gold standard, how you run a business, how you treat family, employees, whatever. You can't be better than the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're just, it's as good as it gets. I think they're one of the best franchises in sports in North America. They've taken one first-round quarterback since 1980. If you look at the list, you've got to dedicate to, yes, I'm sure you do. And the Patriots, they're the best franchise ever in the NFL. Last time they took a first-round quarterback was 1993. So it's not dedicating all these first-round resources. It's maybe using a first-rounder, maybe doing it every 10 years, but get it right.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
So, Robert, I want to thank you for your time. I just don't think you're the right person for this position.
I don't understand. Was it something I said?
Well, we did a background check on you and found some things of concern.
If you're in charge of hiring for your company, you know how helpful a background screening can be. That's why companies that use Horizon Background Screening make smarter hiring decisions. Don't let the wrong hire put your company at risk. Get the real story on your candidates at horizonscreening.com. Horizonscreening.com.